Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Person that we're going to be having encounters with through the other weeks, I want to share with us a little bit about his person, the Holy Spirit. I know that today the church has tried to explain the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, we usually will say Holy Ghost, and it sounds like whenever you want energies, ghosts. When you want to teach small, it's spirits. But they are the same thing. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. A ghost is a spirit. A spirit is a ghost. Are we here together? And so, but sometimes people have the mindset that when you want to teach fire, you use ghosts. And maybe that was what influenced me too. I don't know. But I always like the fire dimension of the Holy Spirit. And I will explain what it means over time, not today, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In other words, there are supposed to be two different things. Are we here together? Talked about Holy Ghost and the fire. So there are a lot of people who are in church, but they have not encountered the fire dimension of the Holy Spirit. There is the operation of the Holy Spirit that is a fire manifestation. On the day of Pentecost, it came, you know, the apostles, the believers had received the Holy Ghost. I'll explain this, what I'm saying now. Just listen. Can you remember the time Jesus came to his disciples and the Bible says he breathed upon them? And he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Can you remember? Can you remember? So he just had a breath upon them like, and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure that Jesus would not be joking when he said, receive the Holy Ghost. I'm sure that it wouldn't have happened that he said that and he didn't receive anything. Are we here together? But when he was going to introduce what will happen in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, he said that they should tarry in the upper room. I will send you the promise of the Father. Is that not what he said? He now said, tarry in the upper room. And when they went to the upper room, you will be endued with power from on high. Remember, he already said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, let me quickly do that. I know the media team, I don't know if they are ready for me. Let's go. I think the book of John or something, so that you can get it clearly. Jesus was just speaking to them, and while he was talking to them, he just said, receive the Holy Ghost. And John chapter 20 verse 21 to 23. John chapter 20 from verse 21 to 23. Just, it's still Holy Ghost and fire, but I'm not ready to do plenty things today. Just listen. Knowledge is very important, because what we're going to be doing subsequently, it will not be good for me to start like that. Then start, I would like to crescendo. Do we understand? So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Next verse, we're going to verse 23. And when he had said these, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They received something here. I hope you are aware. It was not just ordinary. At that point, they were able to receive the Holy Ghost, because if you read the scripture carefully, you see that Jesus already had died, and after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were able, because he's paid the price for our sins already, so the body is prepared to receive the Holy Ghost. So when he came in contact with them, the first thing he said was to receive the Holy Ghost. It's just like praying in church right now. While we're praying, I say, receive. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as I'm praying like that, different things happen. Some people receive the Holy Ghost as fire in their hands, some on their feet, some on their body. Some people stand and there's nothing, but something has happened inside. Because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, he moves in different ways, and we respond to his form in different ways, also based on our personality. And sometimes he can beat all our personality and just reach us. I've had times where I prayed for people who had made up their mind that there's nothing this pastor is saying. Me, if I stand here, I cannot fall. And it was not my intention that anybody would fall. Sometimes we have had prayer meetings where I would say, sit down and let's just be praying. Because I really don't want that day to be, I can't say messy. I don't want it to be full of dramatic. And we'll still experience some kind of drama. Are we here together? I don't think that people in their normal senses, just ordinarily, will just want to have such kind of experience. Especially when I have had meetings where it's an open air crusade and there's water and mud and people are wearing white. I don't think they want to fall down in the gutter. I don't think so. I don't think anybody would like to dress very nice and want to be stained like that. I don't. No, I don't think so. Do you think somebody would just, it's fun to just rub yourself a little bit and stand up again? You think it's fun? No, it's not. I don't think so. So, but I can't always explain everything, but I know that I have seen different encounters. I've seen people come to church on a Sunday morning, beautifully looking, with nice appearance. Guys too, suits, and the suits got on. I don't think that guy, if he remembers the price of the suit, he will not want it to get on. You get what I'm saying now? But it just happened. We're going to talk about this Holy Ghost, and we're going to experience him in the course of the teachings. But Jesus came here and he said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. And he said to them, whoever sin you remit. That means what I have done for you on the cross of Calvary, now if you go out, you can do it for every other person. You now have become the dispensers of eternal life. So you can administer eternal life to people. When you meet them, you can now say to them, say these things after me, and they say it after you, or you pray for them and their sins will be absorbed. Now there's something that happened to them that day. They were not aware. I'm not sure. The Bible didn't say they fell. There are times where Jesus did some things and people came to arrest him and they fell. But the Bible didn't say here that they fell or anything, and we can't tell exactly what happened. But they received the Holy Ghost. And he said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. But because many times it is difficult for some pastors or teachers to explain that there is a dimension that is fiery, hot, demonstrative, eruptive, and very noisy. And maybe because some people don't like that aspect, they just say, when you get born again and we pray for you, I've received the Holy Ghost already, and the fire is just the Holy Spirit working on your character. There is a part of the Holy Spirit fire. I will talk about 7 things that the Holy Spirit will do with you and in you. And I'll talk about 7 reasons why you need the fire. There's little to what people can do as Christians. You see, while we have very weak Christianity, powerless Christianity, passionless Christianity, I usually will say sometimes that I'm not sure that the same Christ we receive is the same Christ all of us have received, because I always wonder at the way people behave with their own Christianity. I wonder how they are Christians, but it doesn't look to me like they understand what it means to be a Christian. And you know, when you do not know what the definition or standard of a thing is, you will just keep assuming you are what you are not. I don't know if anybody gets what I'm saying. You need to understand that when they say somebody is Christ-like,
What are the expectations? When they say somebody is having eternal life, what is eternal life? What are the possibilities that a person who has eternal life, what are the possibilities or the realities present in your world? If you don't know it, you will walk like every other person. And the Bible says, have I not said it that ye are gods? He said all of them, they are the source of me. What's it? Because they do not know. They do not know. They act like men, live like men, die like men. It will not be God's fault if we are not able to touch the realities of God. It will be our fault. It will not be God's fault if we are not able to press in. And listen, everybody, as long as we're on the face of the earth, there is still a dimension of God to press into. Nobody will attain that point here on the face of planet earth where even if you are 80, 90, by reason of strength, by reason of the human age or whatever, the human body begins to get weak. Sometimes the spirit of certain men are stronger than their body. But for age's sake, the body cannot move again. The spirit wish it could do more. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I would have loved to stay longer with you people, but you see, I am not going to control that as it is now. Why? He couldn't tell when they would try to kill him. You understand? The Romans already held Paul and all, they were going to kill him, so he wasn't sure. And at the same time, he wasn't talking, I don't think he was necessarily talking about physical death. He was talking that just anticipate anything can happen. If I live is Christ, if I die is gain. As a Christian, do you know the realities? Because if you don't know what you're supposed to be like, if you don't know what you're supposed to be manifesting, if you don't know the quality of life you're supposed to be living, you would settle for less. You will settle for any and everything. And that's why we have Christians who are very comfortable with a cold, ordinary, anyhow life. I know and I agree. One of the things we must come to realize is that we all have different callings. I know and I agree that there are different pastors and apostles everywhere. But the kind of apostolic calling that I have received is usually to help you see how much you can become in this vessel. How much that if a man purge himself, you can become something bigger than what you're seeing. And I know it very well. And that's why I'm not very much in a hurry to sound like us. No. I have to be able to communicate the graces or everything that has been put inside of me for the lives of the people who listen to me, for them to look like they are ablaze for God. Passionately ablaze for God. And set for a life of global impact. Jesus said to the disciples, said, tarry in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. Then the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came upon them. What happened when he said, receive the Holy Ghost? Then what happened on the day of Pentecost? Because when he said, receive the Holy Ghost, he still saw that they could not go anywhere. So that you are born again is not a sign that you have the real thing now. There is still more. Because those guys were born again at that moment. They were born again. They have believed in Jesus Christ. He had died and he's been raised. So they believed Jesus as their Lord and their personal Savior. And they were still walking around town. Then Jesus said, calm down, guys. I know. When I was with you, remember, he gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and they healed the sick and they did all those things and they came back. Now he will leave. If he leaves them, there is a personality that will totally possess them for them to be able to function the way they were functioning when Jesus was with them. So he said, it is expedient that I should go. If I go, I will send you another comforter. The comforter that I will send from the Father, that he will come in my name. He said, when he comes, that spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Then the day the spirit of truth came, he did not start by guiding them into truth. He started by setting them on fire. That's how he started the work. Because he knows that an unclean lips cannot declare truth. Cannot. A heart with a corrupt passion cannot declare truth. So he started by putting fire on them. I'll explain in the course of the teaching what the fire and all that is. But let's start by looking at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, We're going to read from verse 1. This is an Old Testament prophet. Remember, Jesus said that the New Testament is founded on the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. And when he says apostles, he's talking about apostles, the 12 apostles. And when he says the prophets, he's talking about the prophets and their writings. So we can read, we can look back and see some of the things and the kind of life they lived. Are we here together? So let's read this thing together quietly. I want to read it carefully. We're going to somewhere around verse 7 there about. Let's do one to go. In the year that King Uzziah died. Louder. Good. And the house was filled with smoke. Go ahead. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Hold on. Let's speak it from here. You thought you were neatly dressed until you entered the company of some people that were dressed in a different way. Then everything you wore looked like rag. Are you getting what I'm saying? You were so excited about everything. You know, all of a sudden you made your hair and everything. Then you just entered the midst of like 10 people. And their skin started looking like it's glittering. The clothes they were wearing now looked like it came from heaven. Their hair was not looking like normal hair. And you just looked at yourself. And that's what happened to Isaiah. He said, remember, he was opportune to come into the throne. You understand? He had access to a place. When he entered, he just realized. He said, who is me? What happened? He said, I am undone. Me, do you know? I used to think that I had this thing, but no. He now realized that the kind of mouth and the kind of personality that he doesn't have I wish I had the good English to use here now. I needed an adjective to qualify this. That he does not have the capacity to be a bearer of the word of life. Like, my mouth cannot utter the things that this God wants me to utter. I don't have the capacity to say these things. I don't have what it takes to be an instrument for him the way I am. So something has to happen to me. If nothing happens to me, I am undone. Woe is me. That means like cursed. Kai, look at my state. That's how the prophet felt. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. Then he started analyzing. He said, actually, even the people around me that I thought that were okay, all of us are unclean people. I dwell in the midst of people. And I guess he must have probably been in the company of some people who were forming holy. He just realized that no, we are not there. Why? Because he stood before the tripartite holy God. And the first declaration he heard when he entered. Superior to operate. He will need something bigger. He will need something that will not be his own, because he will be bragging. Imagine he entered there and he felt so fit and everything. He would have bragged. But no, he entered there and he realized that for any man to function in the realm of God, he must put off humanity and carry on divinity. And to carry on divinity, you must go through a surgical process of having fire touch your lips. Or else you will not be able to speak for us. Or else you don't have the right. The apostles did not have what it takes to speak for God until they went to the upper room. When they went there, fire came upon them. Then they came out and started talking. Every other thing they said before they got there, nobody would listen. It wasn't making sense. In fact, Jesus knew that they would have been wasted. It would have failed. The assignment of Jesus over their life would fail without the activation of the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. Are we here together? Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. He said, now look at, he said what? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My eyes have seen the King. Kai, what is this that I have seen? I have seen something more than I have ever known in all my life. After these encounters, these few weeks, your eyes will see. Kai, Kai, Kai. God will open your eyes to see Him. In the form of His fullness, you will see Him. And when you see Him, you will desire. And your desire will be birthed. In the name of Jesus. Hunger has to come out of your heart. You can't see Him and be ordinary. You can't see Him in reality. Many have not seen Him. No. They just heard the preacher preach to them and they confess, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, accept me into my life. And Jesus agreed that He has accepted them. But they need to take a step further. Until you take that extra step further, you cannot serve in this kingdom effectively. In fact, you will just be embarrassing yourself, because there is more. God can entertain that level when you just start, but He will tell you, move fast, move fast. Why? In this kingdom, we must grow. We must keep growing. One level of growth, another level of growth. One level of growth, another level of growth. Because every time we press into Him, there is a fresh dimension that we can attain. So sometimes when we see Christians just acting like unbelievers, when we see Christians, they are not passionate about sin that they put off. Paul was speaking to them. He said, as believers, put off the old man. Like, guys, what's happening? Put it off. Why are you still putting on something that you called woe? Why are you still putting on something that you know is unacceptable? Why are you still putting on something that you know cannot, with this you cannot function? Put off the old man. But that, brothers and sisters, it is not easy to put off. When fire comes, you will not need to put off, you will burn it. Every rag will be burnt. Every ungodly and unholy passion will be burnt. Everything that is not consistent. I know, and we do it well. It is a sign that you have identified with Christ when we bury you into water. But when we buried you into water and we brought you out, few minutes after your clothes dried, when we put you into fire and we bring you out, many years after, your skin, people will feel something has happened to you. Have you ever met somebody that had a serious fire accident? 10 years after, have they healed? Will they live and die with that thing? And that's what the fire does to you when it comes. Your perspective will change. Your form will change. Your similitude will change. It will be obvious to the people around you that something has happened to you. If the people who used to know you before you got born again still see you as the same, you are still operating water dimension. It is what the water baptism did that you are still operating with. But there is something the fire baptism needs to do. The fire baptism does not act like the water baptism. It's not a temporal wash. It is a permanent reconfiguration. It is such that after that encounter, you can gladly look at yourself. Sometimes you see certain people, they are ready to do anything for the gospel. They have caught the fire. No, that pastor poured oil on your head and ordained you doesn't mean you have caught fire. Remember, the 12 of them, Jesus already called them apostles. They were already called apostles. He picked all of them and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12 of you are the apostles of the Lamb. They said, yes, sir. You follow me, do you understand? Even Judas, Apostle Judas. So that the title is not what qualifies you. What you make of that title is what will matter. 7 deacons were appointed. Out of 7 of them, I'm not saying the others didn't do anything, but we heard about 2. We heard Philip and Stephen. Out of 7, the ones that caught fire. We saw the life of Philip. We saw the life of Philip. We saw the results that he had. We also see the life of Stephen. And we could see the kind of results that Stephen had. Now, the other ones were deacons, like every other person. They ended up as deacons. But these ones eventually moved from being deacons to fiery deacons. And they could not call them deacons again. They said, no, you have taken for yourself the office. Therefore, we call you Evangelist Philip, Evangelist Stephen. they were supposed to be taken. But they caught fire in an office. So the fire introduced them to the office. They didn't enter the office before they caught the fire. They were where they were and they caught fire. Then they catapulted themselves in the realm of spirits into the office. The apostles laid hand on them as deacons. The Holy Ghost laid hand on them. They became evangelists. So one can be anointed and yet not enter the office. He can enter the office in the church's book, but you have not entered the office in the Lamb's book. Does anybody get what I'm saying? I heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth. I read of the story rather. And he shared his encounter. He had accepted Christ and everything until he heard about a particular person preaching somewhere. And he said his wife had been speaking in tongues, but he would not. Because I must know my own by myself. He cannot deceive me. Shakraba, shakraba. Oh, man, it's woman and emotion that you're doing. That's how he felt. So he felt like it's just woman emotion. Never. You can't convince me. So he heard about the particular evangelist preaching somewhere. People were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything else, praying in tongues. So he went there. When he got there, because he was hungry, because one of the things that will bring this fire is hunger. If you are satisfied with where you are, you will not get anything. If you are satisfied with the petty Christian life, you remain there. There is space for those who are satisfied with where they want to be. It's okay. But I'm sure one day it's possible that frustration will hit you. One of the reasons many people get frustrated in this kingdom is when they refuse to press into the fullness of what they actually can become in this kingdom. Then you now start hearing things that, I prayed. I don't even know what is happening. I passed. I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know if this God is real or it's not real. The things that our eyes have seen, that our hands have handled, and you would think that he's about to talk about something physical. He said of the word of life. So the word became flesh to them again. They saw it and they handled it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? I want to beg you, don't be comfortable with where you are. There is more. So much more. So much more. So much more. And God's desire is to see that you will break forth into new realms. I pray that in these few weeks we'll be sharing these things. Nobody will be left behind in the name of Jesus. God will cause you to experience a supernatural level of hunger. Hunger that is a gift. You know, spiritual hunger is a gift. You don't know? No, you need to know. Spiritual hunger will drive you into the place of prayer. Blessed are they that hunger. That means when you are hungry, you are blessed. It's a blessing to be hungry. But many people are never hungry. One of the signs you know a healthy person is hunger. Sick people lack appetite. If you lack appetite for the things of God, brother, sister, you are sick. Hungry people, you know. When people are sick, the first thing is, I don't have appetite. I was like, church, Bible, pray. When you are healthy, there is an auto ignition. You will know when it has gone down. You will see the hunger instinct is so serious that if care is not taken, a person can break a kitchen door to eat. People break banks to eat. The hunger instinct is serious. Hunger instinct. A baby is born today. Who told the baby what the breast is? Hunger instinct. Will teach you by yourself. The things you don't need, you will look for it by yourself. I sometimes look at the little baby and I'm like, calm down. The mother is even wondering, like, wait. Sometimes you see some of them drag their mother down like this. I say, Kai, hunger. May God give you that kind of appetite where you'll be dragging and angels will be saying, Hey, hunger. They're not the kind of Christians where they're just playing one wordly song on the road. They're already doing like this. Small, just small. Your neighbor is just playing it. You're already like this. When they play gospel songs, say, what's that? What's that? What's that? There's a level of spiritual depth you connect with. Even if they play a gospel song, you don't know. Deep will be calling onto deep. You don't have you played songs where you don't know the language, but you know that there's life in this thing. I know the language, but I just know there's life in this thing. The first time I heard the song when they were singing, Hosanna, who called? I don't know. I just know that what is this? I went online, so I must check the lines. There's something inside the line of this song. Only for me to open and answer it, that the angel of the Lord tapped me. I said, guy, no wonder. This person, there's something there. Growth is a sign that you are alive. When you're not growing, it's presumed that you are dead. Are you getting what I'm saying today? I told you I'm going to lay a foundation because I cannot be throwing fire. You know, the prophet of Baals, he said, put water and put this. Then Elijah had to pray for fire to fall. Me, I want to ensure that everything is set. So that when we finish preaching like this, come and you go home. The fire can fall there. By yourself. You will open the scriptures this week and all of a sudden, what you did not see before, you start seeing. Open down my eyes, oh God. David was saying that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, all the while he's been reading, the eyes are open. But it's not this eye that he's talking about. This one can see letters. There is the one that can see the spirit. That's the one I want. So David was saying, this one sees the letters. I see the Isema. I can see it. But that's not helping my life. So you will look through the same letters, and behind the letters you see the spirit. Open down my eyes, O God, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Newspaper, that's what the Bible looks like whenever you are reading it. It's because you need to wake up. Is anybody getting what I'm saying to you? As much as possible, I would be as calm as I can today because everybody will go home and you will go and decide whether this Christianity, we are really ready for it, or we just want to be at a very shallow level. 12 years into the faith, 10 years into the faith, 15 years, we are still struggling with pornography and masturbation. What? What's that? Why? How? The devil can easily just drop thoughts of rubbish. Eh? The devil can even be suggesting just anyhow. There are some things the devil suggests, and as the thought enters your mind, it will just catch fire. But there are some that the devil will suggest, and people will start brooding over it, from brooding to execution. How did the devil lead you hand by hand like this to the bus stop of execution? Have you forgotten that the temptation of Jesus Christ, it did not happen physically? Jesus, it was happening in the mind. As the first one happened, he said, he countered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes up, brother. Satan said, ah. He tried the second one again. He said, you shall not bow to any other God. Ah, are you okay? If you know you are the Son of God. He said, I will show you. Jesus did not wait for all the drama to happen completely before he was cutting it. There's somebody you waited for the drama to be complete until the devil showed you the bus stop and showed you how you're going to slap your sister or your neighbor, and you did your hand. Then when you got there, you did exactly what you saw in your mind. Bah! I say, hey, my mind don't satisfy now. Ah. From ideation to execution, Satan got you that complete. No. You must say, God, never again. Never again. As you begin to grow in the things of God, there are days where you're growing in the faith and you have trusted God that there's a level of anger you don't want to operate. When you operate that level of anger, maybe by chance, you will be angry with yourself, no longer with the people. Because you are saying, this is not the kind of person I begin to become. No, you'll be angry. How did I get here? This is degradation. Lord, take me out of this level. And God will say, yes, that is hunger. Never to be the same again. Are we here together? I know what fire can do. That's why I'm just saying these things. Because I've seen fire turn ordinary people. Ordinary people. You will not be able to identify them. When they tell you where they are coming from, you will almost doubt and say it's a lie. When they tell you that, if you know where I used to be, if you know the life I lived before, they will say it's not true. And they will tell you, no, I know what I encountered. I came in contact, not just with the Holy Ghost. I came in contact with fire. That's the need. And that's why Jesus said to them to go and tarry in the upper room until you are endued with power from where? On high. Look at Isaiah the prophet had encounter with God. Look at what he says there. Go back there. Let's read it. We're going to pray. What we just pray for today is hunger. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. So the seraphim had a live coal. He took the coal not by hand, even though these angels or these seraphims are fiery beings. I hope you know that. They are fiery beings. But the kind of fire that will touch the mouth of Isaiah, even an angel needs to coat his hand to carry the fire. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Angels are spirits. They are fiery beings. They burn. Some of them are like fire self. Are you what I'm saying now? And seraphims, especially, they are high class angels. We have cherubims, you have seraphims. Are we here together now? Yes. You have archangels. These are like arch, they are prince of angels. Then you have angels. You see that in the Bible a lot. If you've listened to my message, you can go and check it. Angels, demons, and the believer. I took time to explain about angels there. But this angel wants to put something in the mouth of a human being, and he had to go to the fire, and he could not use his hand to pick it. Meaning that the cleansing that men need, even angels cannot stand it with their own bare hands. So the angel had to take a tongue and pick the coal of fire, and it was coming to Isaiah. And guess what he says? Go ahead now. Go ahead. Verse 7. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. He said, this thing that touched your lips today, as it has touched you, your iniquity, the ideation of those evil things, Kai, you will not be able to sustain the idea again. Every time the idea comes, you will say, get out. Every time the idea comes, it will burn, because your system is now a fiery system. You can no longer hold that kind of trash. I've never seen it in my life. Anybody with their normal sense enter into a, what they call, transformer and put your hand and rest. Have you ever used transformer as armrest? Try it. But don't say I thought it in this church. That's how dreaded you will be to Satan. If they send any demon to come and inspect and come around your way, he will first do, you know, when somebody goes around and say, brothers and sisters, take notes, I'm not sure if I will come back on time, because I don't know whether they will banish me for 2 months or 5 years, but I cannot disobey the master. But sir, nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Where demons are praying, because they consider the particular person they are sent to. And they say, if you had another person, you'd have tried to leave me. Just let me. I'm okay the way I am. You become a terror to the kingdom of darkness. You become Satan's headache. Somebody under the sound of my voice, after this encounter, you will realize that you have become Satan's biggest trouble. Satan will look and he will say, I have lost this one. I'm not interested again. I cannot combat this one. I don't want to have anything to do with this person. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. You will contact fire in this encounter, and everything will begin to change in the name of Jesus. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. In other words, all the things that have been clouding him from hearing the voice, now it has been cleared. He can now hear. So the reason your spiritual senses have not been sharpened is because sin dulls it. Sin dulls your spiritual senses. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Sin dulls your... If you want to know what you carry, if you want to know the depths of what you really carry, stay away from some things for some time. And it would... Many of us have done some... Have you done... Okay. Like, just a little bit of... Maybe like a 7 days dry fasting. When you sleep in the night, you'll be floating. You'll be floating. You literally float. You literally float. You literally float. To read the letters of scripture at that point might be difficult, but any small thing you read is like fire. I've been there. You will just realize that the problem of man is flesh. That's the problem of man, it's flesh. Distractions, flesh, contaminations. As soon as you press into deeper dimensions with God, in solitude, quiet space, you realize it will look like you are getting closer to heaven. It's not because God has been far, it's because you have been far. Flesh has made you far. God is ever close. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You do the kind of fasting I'm talking about, men, that every small thing, you just see a lady like this, you already have erection. 21 days. I've fasted dangerous fastings that I ask, am I a human being? Am I still a human being? How did I wake up and I'm like this? Nothing will make sense in the flesh world. You just realize that you are beginning to see things, and you want to just, you just feel like, God, if I can just touch you like this, let me just touch you, feel you, hug you. Your flesh will be weak in this kind of prayer I'm talking about, but your spirit will be alive and active. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I send, go for us. I send, go us. Singular and plural. What can you see there? Let us make man. What can you see there? Huh? You can see that? That's where I should have started my teaching from, but somehow, I guess the Spirit constrained me to just talk about this. Then I said, here I am, send me. The reason they are forcing you to come to church is there's no fire. The reason it is easy for people, many believers, their passion and their hunger for the things of God is so there's no fire. When the fire comes, you'll be saying, here I am, send me. We are going for evangelism. Evangelism. Oh, you don't have fire. Listen to yourself. I want to use choir rehearsal as excuse. You don't have fire. We have rehearsal. I see times when we want to go for evangelism. Some people will now start rushing to the admin office. They want to be busy. In my spirit, I say, that's how stone cold we have become. So that what is supposed to be a passion in the heart of God, and somebody's supposed to say, wow, another opportunity, that's what somebody's running away from. And some people married today, the next day they carried their wife and started missionary journey, and they didn't come back again. In fact, they did the wedding because he needed to take a woman for the missionary assignment. He said, let's do it quick. It was not the woman that was important then, is the assignment, but the woman has to go along. So let's go, so that I don't know where I'm going to. I'm not sure I'm coming back. So that it will not be said that this person did not have children. All this. So let's go. I read one of the generals. That's how this guy just married that. God's generals, the missionaries. You might want to read about some of them then. I think there are about two powerful women in that book. You need to read about. So that when people see, you see, all this is deception. Every time I pray, oh, I behold. You cannot behold anything. Don't deceive yourself. Cannot be anything. Cannot be anything. What do you want to behold? They say, let's go behind Jesus. He cannot go. He say, you want to behold. I cannot. How do you want to behold God? How? No, let's be sincere. No, just look at it. Everything we sing, we can't even practice it. Set my heart on fire for you. Holy Spirit said, once you set the heart on fire, you are still fighting, you are arguing. I thought you said you should set the heart on fire. As they are bringing the fire, he said, no. I don't want that kind of fire. But when you were in church, you were shouting, set my heart on fire, I want to be more like you. Then Satan just brings small temptation. You say, I want to be like something. Wake up. Listen. When a person joins occult in less than 6 months, he's an active follower. Passionate. You know what a child will become the day he's initiated to a cult. You know that this child will be an occult grandmaster. But I'm not sure what people will become when they get born again. I can't predict. But you know that somebody enters shrine. They said, your father died. They willed the shrine to you. Or the shrine was willing for you. I don't know. But you know that after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 month, you will start hearing the voice of the gods. The same spirit that was talking to the father will start talking to him. How many of you girls have what I'm saying here now? You will see that child after 1 month. They will now say, the oracle has said, the gods have said. So he can now hear from the God. He couldn't hear before, but he had an initiation. After the initiation, the ears will open, and everything the gods are saying will hear. 6 years after being in Christ, Pastor, I'm still trying to know how to hear the voice of God. You know why? What somebody did in 6 months to become a wizard is what is taking us 15 years in our own realm. And sometimes even after 20 years. I've been in church. I grew up in church. I've been in church where sometimes you see the deacons of the church. They will sit down in the room where they're supposed to be counting money, and they'll be reading newspaper on Sunday. Why the pastor is preaching? I've been embarrassed. I look at those sometimes and say, Kai. Where Stephen could not stay in the kitchen, he just cooking the food alone, people will eat and be receiving healing because Stephen put Maggie. They thought it was Maggie was putting, you know, but his hand was a glorious hand. Then people will eat and they say, I had outside. Who cooks? They say, it's Brother Stephen that puts Maggie and pepper today. No wonder. Are you getting what I'm saying? When I got born again, my friends didn't see me again. I was not tempted to go back to them again. I didn't need them. I just said goodbye. Mojilo, Mojalo. I didn't need them again. No, there's no need. You know why? I've been a pastor's son since. So I've been doing the regular time. Tuesday service like this, I'll be where they play snooker. The day my father came to grab me from there and dealt with my life. Have I told the story before? Jesus of Nazareth. There are some stories you can't forget in your life. When it happens to you, you will remember it. That this hand is moving is the grace of God. When they use the hand to hit wall, how many of you have slapped you before you see star? Have you been slapped like that? I've been slapped once and I saw star. And my mom took me to the optician. She was the one that slapped me. Have I told you the story before? God. You want the story? No. Holy Ghost and fire. No story today. Some stories will be reserved. It was so bad they had to take me to go and test my eyes and my ears. Both of them were not working. Hey, this is not so bad. What? I think that one is trauma. Listen, child of God, let me explain this to you. There is an expectation. God has expectation for the believer. Every time God looks down from heaven, there is a figure he desires to see. If we are not becoming that, you are making God sick. You know what it means to say you make God sick? When somebody is feeling sick, one of the things they do is they throw up. Is that not? God said, I am neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out. So it's like, I want to come around your body. Angela. It's making God sick. He said, I can't contain this one. He said, I would that you were cold, because if you are cold, I will not put you in my mouth. Or you are hot. I like hot one. I don't know what to do with you. He said, but because you are neither cold nor hot, I don't know what to do. How many of us have tried it before? Coffee. Use cold water to do coffee. What does it look like? Brothers and sisters, I thought it was just normal. I just got that's exactly the picture. Cold water coffee. Go and try it when you get home. Try and finish it, please. Don't waste your money. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But you need to be hungry. You need to be hungry. 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 I've seen people who are hungry for God. You will know that this person is hungry. They are passionately praying. They are not praying for anything. They are just saying, God, I want to know you more. That I will see you, behold you. I want to have encounter. Because they know that as soon as they have encounter, you can't talk them. You know the reason you'll be talking people out of, checking people. Are you still born again? Are you not born again? Is the born again evaporated? Is it still boiling? They don't have encounter. When you meet somebody that has encounter, you don't need to say anything. There is an auto activation. If they are going back, they know that I'm going back. They are already pushing forward again. But when you see people going back so fast without any consciousness, they encounter. You see people now comfortable with the ordinary life. They now sit there. They are now balanced. They are now enjoying it. One brother, only you chatting with 32 people, different dirty talks. Ah, Satan has built a castle on your head. Ah, you should call this area. Do you know that's what happens? The heart. As soon as the devil builds a castle in the heart, anything can be accommodated. Anything can stay. But when fire is burning on your heart, it's difficult for anything to stay. It's difficult for rubbish to stay. Just as you cannot go and put your hand on the transformer's armrest, Satan cannot come here. By himself, he will be the ones telling his brothers, so I don't put tag for that guy. Like, so what if I say, beware, now me put him. Now me, I want to help you, because the last time I went there, I know what I saw. That's the kind of threat that we are going to become to the kingdom of darkness. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that this shallow, ordinary Christianity, it will burn out of your life forever in the name of Jesus. You will begin to press into God. You will begin to press into the realities of the kingdom. You will begin to dig into the things that God desires. This fire will now burn afresh in the name of Jesus. You will need to pray and say, God, set my heart on fire. Nekaika van der Ruana Kabis Kapaya. In the realm of the spirits, do they know you at all? They need to know you, because in the realm of the spirit, each believer is a burning flame. He has made his angel ministry spirits. His ministers a flame of fire. Sir, if you are not a flame of fire, you are not known there. You are not known in the realm of the immortals. Mortality can know you, but you need to have recognition in the place of immortality. You need to have recognition in the place of the immortals. There needs to be a connection. And the sign will which they recognize you is a sign of fire. Anything less, you will not be seen. Fire distinguishes you in the realm of the spirit. Fire gives you a mark. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, 120, all of them were set ablaze and they were on fire, so that they can be seen and identified as the ones that have caught God in their hearts. Rise up on your feet. God, I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be ordinary. I will never go back. Oh, I can't. I've come too far. You have not brought me this far to leave me. No, I cannot be stranded. If I have been sluggish about my faith, about my work, God, steer the hunger in my heart. Set my heart on fire for you, oh God. Set my heart on fire for you.
Set my heart on fire.
Let me burn for you.
Oh Lord.
I don't want to be ordinary, Jesus.
Set my heart in order.
I don't want to be ordinary, Jesus. Two years after confessing Jesus, 6 months after confessing Jesus, what am I looking like? Why am I not winning souls? Why can I not pray?
Set my heart.
Why am I not passionate again? Jesus.
Lord, in order, let your fire burn. Let your fire burn. I wanna walk like you, Lord. I wanna think like you. I wanna walk like you.
I wanna burn for you.
I wanna burn for you, Lord.
I know know what
Lord,
I should look like.
Burn.
I'm a ball of fire.
Set my heart on fire for you. Lord, let me burn for you, Lord. Set my heart in order for you, but for you. Hey, I learned Osiah, and I gave balance. Set my heart in order. Lord, let me bind. 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 Yeah, I don't know. I want to bind for you. 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 I want to bind. And they see me, they see Jesus. When they see me, they see Jesus. When they see me, they see Jesus. I want to see me. Hey, when they see me, they see Jesus. When they see me, they see Jesus. I want to burn for you, Lord. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. Man, there's no sabana.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There's a story of a 15-year-old girl. She died at 15. Blendina, you can later after now you can Google. During the days of the martyrs and people who were willing to die for Jesus, they took Blendina at the age of 15 with three other ladies. I remember those days, one of the things they do is that whenever they ask them to renounce their faith, denounce Jesus, they will bring them before the amphitheater, right in the midst of the amphitheaters, and they will release lions. And usually before that happens, some already have denounced Jesus, so they will not even bring them out. So while they are outside, they will just ask them, lions or Jesus? You have to denounce him now. Many would have said, Jesus, what? Amen. Then Blendina, just a 15-year-old girl, she had accepted Jesus and she had believed her faith and her conviction. And they released her and three other young girls like that before the lions to eat them. And as soon as, and you know the amphitheater, what they do is that they make sure the lions are hungry. The lions will be very hungry. So they will devour them fast. As soon as they brought this girl before the lions, and they were going to release the lions, they released her, they came out, and they were warning them, denounce Jesus. Go back. Denounce Jesus. You'll be free. She said, no way. What is this Jesus about? How old are you? 15. Why? What's your problem? She said she will not denounce Jesus. And as soon as they shut the door behind her, that means even if you want to run now, you can't run. The next thing will be to release the lions. They released the lions, and Blendina stood there in courage and faith. They didn't know what she was saying. But you can imagine somebody doing something and sweat. I can just imagine Jesus as sweat and blood coming out of his body. She stayed there. Guess what? The lions came out in a rush. And as soon as they saw her, they sat in front of her. And the lions watched her until they went back. They could not debone her. It was not her gender that they respected. It was not her name they respected. I believe it was the symbol of fire they saw. See, fire is powerful. Fire is important. Satan will not respect your gender. Satan will not respect your skill. Satan is not bothered about that. It's fire. You can Google and check. Some of us need to read books. I've introduced it to those in school of ministry one time or the other. I usually read books. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You need to read and see those who died for this faith and how they gave themselves. And some of them, they could not die. That was the same thing they did to John. They put a boiling pot of oil, and they put John, expecting to get Why did he roast? They were waiting. He didn't roast. You can't roast fire inside fire. That was just it. Now, God was showing something that there is immortality that we can carry and will become so deadly that Satan will be scared of us. Do you know what? Many believers don't desire this thing at all. They just want, let's just be where we are. And I tell you, you will regret it, though. Times are going to get tough and harder, and prepare your heart, for the world is not going to get better. Listen, the world is not going to get better. Things are not going to get better. That's what Bible prophecy has said. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In those days, he said they will take you up before kings to devour you. I don't know the kind of Christians they preach to some people. They are so weak. They don't look like Christians. They're not ready to. They just want someone to say, when you come to Jesus Christ, your riches, your wealth, your this. I've told you that those things are added. But you see, when a righteous person stands for their faith and it looks like they died, in heaven they did not die. They just transited into an immortal realm. There is ranking for those. Did you read Revelation? The ranking for those who died as martyrs. The Bible says their blood is the crown. They are looking at us. I will show you in Revelation. Those of you who follow my series in Revelation the other time, they are the ones looking at us and say, what are these ones doing? What are they doing? Is this the faith? Is this what we died for? Is this what we died for? That they are so comfortable and they are watching, doing movies Sunday. That's not what we died for. That's not what we died for. We have turned church to semi-entertainment because we don't have the Holy Ghost to entertain people again. They did meetings. Go and read God's Generals. You see it. They start meeting by 6 o'clock. It will end the next morning by 7. And they don't want to go home. But now when we put people to start praying in church, after 1 hour in tongues, you see everybody sitting down like zaba, 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 zaba. Hey! Dead cold. Ice cold. Ice cold. Nothing. Nothing moves there. They're just there. They're talking and they're looking. They're talking and they're looking. And I'm saying, okay, is this what this guy is like for? A 15-year-old girl had conviction and gave her life. At that age, yet the lions looked and said, we can't eat this one. They moved back. The same experience of Sam Daniel was repeated. Just to show us, God just showing us that I can do it again and again. I'm not down talking some of the things we do today, but please, those things are not what Christianity is about. I want us to understand it. Do you know? Listen, please, let's get these things right. When they pick a little boy in the Arab world and they are taking him to go and become a member of ISIS or Boko Haram, they don't do movie Sunday. They don't do Entertainment Friday. No! They indoctrinate them and tell them that when they put bombs on their body and they blow up for Allah, they have glorified their God. And these guys will come out with their eyes ferocious. And they can see 10,000 people staying in one place. And one boy will shout, Allahu Akbar! And they will die because of what he believes. And somebody seated in the church, if there's no special music Sunday, or movie Sunday, or entertainment Sunday, they say church is boring. God forbid. You are not in touch. That's why church is boring. I've said it again and again. When people start losing their fire, the next thing in these last days, go and read the Bible. He said men will be lovers of pleasure. That's entertainment more than lovers of God. What we used to fill church up now is entertainment. Anytime we want to fill church up, we'll just do entertainment. They are going to play premiership on Sunday. Everybody see people. They are rushing. We are going to have movie Saturday. Everybody. We are going to have Bible study 4 hours. You can count the number of people. They are not hungry. It's not because the word is not sweet. It's not because this thing you are saying, is it dry? Is it boring? But some people will not still come. They are not interested. Some people will even come, but they came for formality. I usually tell my leaders those times, I say some of you, if you are not leaders, you will not come to church. And that's why when God judges the heart of some members, they will score far higher than you. You'll be shocked in heaven. There'll be surprises. I always ask myself, I say, God, I've not missed service. I hardly missed service in this number of years of my life. I've hardly missed service. If I were a member, would I miss it? Search my heart through and through. Let it not be because I occupy the office of a priest that I'm doing all these things. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to. I know many people, when especially students, our students on campus, they are escorts. They will attend this thing. Immediately you move left from high school, even fellowship, they don't attend again. Then you will know. God will look at that and say, see. I know your works. I know your works. We must serve God from the heart. We must serve God from the heart. We must serve God from the heart. Church, we must serve God from the heart. 1 or 2 minutes, pray and say, God, help me. Set this my heart on fire. Genuinely, sincerely, God. I don't want to be carried away. I want to be real. I want my Christianity to be real. I want my faith to be real. I want to serve God sincerely and genuinely. I want to do this thing real. I don't want to just do it because I have to do it. Because I'm in a department. Because I am, they will ask if I did not come. Everybody has to leave the house. So we have to leave the house on Sunday. No. No, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. The more I know you, the more I want to know Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you, comes to you today and say, give me your ambition. Listen, we're going to close now. If God comes to you today and say, give me your ambition, for my sake, give up your ambition of having to get married. Give up your ambition of having to have children. You know, when I came into the faith, when I became a pastor, it was not popular to say you want to become a pastor. There were young people who were not interested. I was the youngest person in the Bible school at that point. And they were even surprised that I was coming because they didn't expect somebody looking like you. I was looking to come to Bible school. I was like, yeah, I want to do it. I go to camp many years ago, 19 years ago. You know, I will go to camp 19, 18 years ago. I'll go to camp to pray. And people will say, ah, go back home. What are you looking for here? And I'm like, I don't understand. Is it by age? I want to come and pray now. They'll be surprised. Then before I would go to camp, my mom would have warned me that please don't do long fasting, please. Because it was not the popular thing. I had started preaching in buses. I started preaching inside bus, doing morning cry, going around preaching the gospel of Jesus. But today, I didn't know. The first time I was blessed with a car, I didn't believe in my life. I didn't know. I usually hear the things, but it didn't ring to me. But I was just hearing that. I know that they say they'll bless me. The day will bless me, I'll do this. I could not do anything. I started organizing crusades. Evangelism, we are begging people to do today. Nobody. It was not the church I was doing it for. There was no church. I didn't have any church. I didn't have any. There was no organized name of group self. I would just beg my dad then, as their church amplifier, please, and generator, give us. I want to go and preach on the streets. And some of my people will carry, this one will carry generator on the head, this one will carry speaker, this one will carry horn speaker. We will go to a particular bus stop, we'll stay there. Sometimes we are 7, 8, and I'll start preaching. I'll be declaring the counsel of God. I still picture myself. I remember precisely almost about 9 years ago here inside Ibai State. I did several crusades there when we started. And God is still prompting my heart and say, go back to that thing. You were shameless. I remember days when I would fast and Satan would suggest to me that you're not going to be looking robust. Your cheek will jump, you'll be dry, be looking like Paco. I say, yes, let me look like that. Doesn't matter. I was ready to give up anything for Jesus. I was ready to be anything was for Jesus. Let's just do it. I did not know in my life that whether it is possible, because the kind of pastoral work my father did, there was no enjoyment there. This one, the part of suffering was what it was. It was suffering blend. So I didn't, it wasn't like you saw something and say, if I get here. Crusades, we'll do crusades. I will leave my house, I'll be trekking, looking for hospitals to go and preach to people, looking for schools to go and preach Christ. I will just be going up and down, just looking for how to tell somebody Jesus loves me. I have done so much of terrible mistake that, whether a mistake, I don't know. I would see a guy and a girl sitting down holding their hands. I would tell them, what are you people doing? Do you have any wrong plan this night? I say it boldly. There's the boldness you carry. They themselves, they will lose their hand. They will lose. Every time I ever did that, nobody confirmed me and said, walk out of here. Never. Because it's tears in my heart. Because I'll be scared of what will happen if they go. It was that bad. So today when I see the kind of Christianity that people have in church, and I'm wondering, is this the same Christianity? You see a sister in church, she's your sister in God. You'll be scared. Fear. But this one now, is everything just goes. You say, I'm going to leave that one. Pastor, no day, nobody day. There is an all-seen eye in heaven. He sees everything. The desire of God is to help us become better. But we must be willing to submit and yield to Him. We must be willing to say, God, I'm ready. If you tell God sincerely, take away this nonsense, lackadaisical Christianity that is just, I don't have any zeal. Can't you see how people give excuse today? I remember when we were in Ilasa Maja, I know where our house was. I can't forget where our house used to be. Agorobo Gumbolu will be coming to church in Irokosu Street. Today, people cannot. They can't. My mother will carry one. They'll be dragging us. Midweek service, you will go. The days I did not go for midweek was when they caught me playing snooker. As a grown-up boy, second ago, they flogged. Those were the days where I had already gone back. GSS 1, 2, and 3. You know when his voice start growing? Something center. But as soon as I hit GSS 3, somehow, the Holy Ghost recalibrated my system. And from that time till now, by the grace of God, I've been following Him. I've never regretted a single day. And I know I will never regret. I will never regret. This is a generation where they don't sing some kind of things. You don't sing some kind of song. If I show the kind of hymns we used to sing then, I usually sing some of them for my people so that they can understand. Because these days we sing it, people will say, who won't come suffer like this? Who won't come suffer? The kind of hymns we used to sing then is with suffering blends. Christianity with sufferings blends. Because we saw the life of the apostles, that they had seasons that they suffered. When you suffer, it's not a sign that God has left you. For the trying of your faith works patience. But Christianity of today, so what? No, they can't. And that's the reason why many people will still suffer. And they are not suffer physically now, it's now emotional. Emotional drain. Small thing, they say God has left. God did not leave anybody. When Jesus died on the cross, God did not leave him. Even when he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? God did not say anything. Why? There's a greater glory ahead.
Is anybody getting what I'm saying here, church? So let's press and know what we're doing. Each time I remember this desire, I just ask myself, I said, I don't even know what exactly are we doing like this. Oh God, help us if we are still doing the real Christianity, or there's another type that is a 21st century type. I don't know. But one thing I know is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lift up your voice and just give God thanks for tonight. Just give Him thanks this night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stir fire in our hearts, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. We're just starting, Lord. We ask that you will build up. This will build up. This will build up to be a fire encounter for us. Fire encounter, Jesus. Fire encounter. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Kavli ande rush branda rubasai de rubasada. If you are here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your personal Savior, you have not made a personal commitment to Jesus, please, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. I want to pray with you specially tonight. If you want to make a decision for Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, it's a commitment. Quietly raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Just quietly raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you right now. Just say these words after me. Wherever you are, raise your hand so that it is clear that you are raising your hand. Yes. It's a thing of joy, because there is joy in heaven. Can you say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you the way I am. I receive forgiveness of sin made available by your blood. I declare that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins and give me eternal life. From henceforth, I receive eternal life into my spirit. And I declare that I am born again, saved and sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.